What are some of the symptoms of CJD, first of all, Colm?
Well, one of the earliest symptoms that people report are forgetfulness. That's the beginning stages. You also have mood changes, sleep disorder, personality changes. So family members begin to notice that their loved one is really beginning to act strangely. Sometimes can't remember their home phone number, that kind of thing. So as time goes on, and we're talking weeks and sometimes months, muscle twitching and spasms and muscle shaking, and then tremors begin as the disease progresses, and then basically the entire memory begins to go, then difficulty in swallowing, difficulty in being able to hold down food, and the entire body begins to shut down. And then usually after the first symptoms of diagnosis till death is anywhere between 3 months and maybe 18 months.
That's pretty fast. This thing just spreads right through you then.
Really, really quickly. But the weird thing is that the timing between first infection and symptoms can be 10, 20, even 30 years. So it's only when those first symptoms appear that the brain has been so shot full of holes because of this inexorable, over years and years and years, breakdown and killing of brain cells, that the patient, by the time symptoms appears, is really gone. You know, the patient is on the way into the grave, essentially.
If they had an ability to look into our brains, all of ours, let's call them, yes, might they find something wrong with everybody?
I don't think so. I think something might be wrong with a lot of people, but
well, that's a different story.
That is a different story. But in terms of CJD, I don't think so. I think there is a catch-all, and there has been a catch-all for many years in the United States. Dementia and Alzheimer's and CJD have been lumped into this large catch-all. But, you know, one of the things I should mention is that Alzheimer's disease, the classification of Alzheimer's disease has broadened somewhat in the last few years, and the age of the population is getting older all the time. But still, between 1979 and right now, there has been a 9,000% increase in Alzheimer's disease in this country. Now, that is, by any stretch of the imagination, that is a phenomenal increase. I mean, I could understand a 90% increase due to the aging of the population.
Or some kind of environmental problem, right?
Yeah, well, that's the point of this whole thing, that there are other variables in this 9,000% increase besides just the aging of the population and reclassification of Alzheimer's. There may be, as you mentioned, all environmental factors. There may be a much larger number of misdiagnosed CJD than we're aware of, which obviously would make the CJD into a large epidemic in its own right.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, in your book, you talk about the possibility that millions of Americans might have already been exposed to prions known to have caused mad cow disease through years of eating tainted beef already,
yeah,
right?
And or tainted venison or tainted game or wildlife. You know, there's some weird clusters that have popped up in the countryside. For example, in Kentucky in the 1990s, there was a cluster of CJD people who died of the brain wasting disease CJD. They tracked those people, and they found that they had this interesting habit of eating squirrel brains. And this was in rural Kentucky. Then they found earlier a similar cluster in Texas and another one in Louisiana. So, you know, you could ask the question, did these people die of CJD because they were eating squirrel brains from mad squirrels?
I doubt that.
Well, that's a definite possibility if these prions are moving through the wildlife in a slow, undetected way, so that they're beneath the radar. The other issue in this whole scenario is the University of Wisconsin experiments that I indicated could be, they could indicate that there has been widespread mad cow disease in the United States for many, many years, in which case many, many people certainly have been exposed to these prions. But, you know, if you don't test for mad cow disease in the United States, you will never find mad cow disease in the United States.
I know, and they're very sporadic right now, aren't they?
Right, and yeah, that is one of the sort of the things that the people in Europe look across to the United States, and they look at the level of testing for mad cows in this country, and they shake their heads. Every year in the United States, 35 million cattle are slaughtered on their way to the dinner table or restaurant table or whatever. Now, out of those 35 million, only 200,000 cows are are tested for mad cow disease. That is less than 1%. Now, if you go to Europe, the minimum number of animals that are tested is 30% of those that are heading for the dinner table.
Is it unrealistic to be able to test everyone, every cow?
Well, in Japan, they test every single one.
They do.
In Ireland, they test every single one.
And what's the incidence of CJD in Japan?
CJD is relatively uncommon in Japan, and mad cow disease is relatively uncommon in Japan. But, you know, in Japan, they're confident that they have the baseline. They know how many cases they have because they test every animal that goes to the table. You know, one of the preeminent scientists in this country, Dr. Prusner, Stan Prusner, who won the Nobel Prize for the discovery of prions in 1997, he recently made a statement that the level of testing for mad cows in this country is woefully inadequate.